listen to interviews on Juno Afternoon or to see links to anything that we've talked about on this show or to be on the show yourself, check out our website at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. That's ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Great to have you here with us on this Friday for some conversations to send you off to the weekend. I'm Rhonda McBride. And speaking of conversations, Alaska is a place where people who share interests or common causes are likely to be scattered far and wide, especially women from small communities. Maybe that's why Alaska women do a lot of networking. 25 years ago, that's how Alaska Women Speak got its start, a quarterly journal of poems, essays, photographs, and artwork by Alaska women and for Alaska women. Now, Alaska Women Speak has published an anniversary anthology from journals that span from 1992 through 2017. Some disclosure here, I have contributed to Alaska Women Speak, and I do have an essay in the anthology, but I am one of hundreds of women included in what is quite a labor of love for two of its editors, Mary Lee Hayes, who lives near Eagle River, and Angie Slingluff, who now hails from New Mexico, but she was right there from the start. Mary Lee, let's begin with you. And perhaps you can start by telling us what it took to pull all this together.
Well, Angie and I live in different states, so we had to rely on the telephone for a lot of our communication. And myself and another AWS supporter chose and selected different stories, wanting to have as many representatives from our supporters list, because many women have written and supported this little women's journal, Alaska Women Speak, a grassroots endeavor. And I thought, I want this to endure. I want to honor the women and supporters and put them into an anthology book. I was one of the managing editors, and so was Angie.
So, Angie, tell me a little bit about what it was like to collaborate with Mary Lee over the phone.
Well, occasionally technology would give us a fit, and she's on a Mac and I'm on a PC, so every once in a while we hit the interface issues, but we managed to do it pretty well over the last 4 years to produce this journal. Mary Lee picked the articles and does great editing, and I was responsible for the layout. I made the articles fit in the space we had available and filled in some of the blank spaces with art and photos from contributors from the journal. So it was indeed a labor of love, and I'm so delighted to see it in print.
To me, it's amazing. It's, what, about an inch thick? And
2 pounds, 14 ounces.
2 pounds, 14 ounces, and about how many contributors in the anthology?
Probably 234 or more.
And that's, what, just a fraction of all the contributors over the years? So how did you go about deciding what was going to make it into the anthology?
The quality of the article and what they had to say. And we also wanted to honor those that maybe had contributed many, many articles, or maybe for many, many years at different times, or volunteered their time. Our writers did not have to be famous. That had nothing to do with it, really nothing to do with it. It all had to do on, did they want to share their voice? And that's what AWS has been, a sharing of voices.
I'd like to add to that, that some people's articles, it was their first time in print, first time they were published. And several authors have gone on to be accomplished writers.
I think that is the wonderful thing about it, is this opportunity to get your voice out there in print. And many people, like you said, probably discovered that they had a knack for that.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, I'd like to read a couple of blurbs that are on the back of the anthology. And this one happens to be from Gloria Steinem. She writes, "It's a portable friend that brings insight and information into your home and helps find friends outside it. It's truly a voice for women in the great land." Gloria Steinem. So I have to ask, how did you get her to endorse your book?
Well, I was always looking for ways to increase the visibility of the Little Women's Journal. And so I simply sent it to her. I got her address and sent it to her, and she wrote that blurb back.
But that notion that it's a portable friend, I think she gets it, doesn't she?
Yeah.
What Alaska Women Speak is all about.
That's right. Yeah, she sure did. I will be sending her this book.
Well, the other blurb, too, is from Fran Ulmer on the back cover. And I like what she writes here. "This book is an emotional journey through several decades of remarkable women's adventures, reflections, transitions, poetry, and art. For some readers, it will prompt memories of their own similar experiences, feelings, and relationships with places and people in Alaska. For others, it will be a tempting introduction to what makes Alaska and Alaskans so special and surprising." And I think that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
So Mary Lee, is this magazine still in existence today after 25 years?
Yes, it is. It's an amazing thing that a small grassroots journal of stories and poems and pictures is still in existence, 25 years worth of those stories and pictures.
So does the journal still have this tradition of coming up with a theme and then asking contributors to offer up material that fits the theme?
Yes, that's right.
So can you give an example of some of the themes over the years and some of the pieces that turned up in the anthology because of the themes?
One of the themes was women and their horses, and that was in 2012. And that ended up being a very popular theme. Women really responded to writing their stories or poetry about their horses. That was a really fun theme. We have had women in the arts. A current one has just been 8 Stars of Gold, and that one had about winter and when we can see the stars at night. That was just current in the winter issue of Alaska Women Speak.
It sounds like it's kind of a big treasure hunt. What will the theme bring in?
I think the themes are important, though, because that's how many people decided that they wanted to submit something. And the themes really drew in a very diverse audience of writers and contributors.
Well, I think perhaps it might be the volume of pictures. I'm someone who likes to visually see pictures. If we're going to have a story about a bear, I want to see a bear. If it's one of the stories which is about a plane crash, well, then let's get a picture of the pilot, the woman pilot in the airplane. For Angie to have the ability to put all those pictures in, it makes it a very unique anthology.
Angie, why was it so important to you to take all that trouble to work with all these pictures?
The pictures are representative of Alaska women, their activities, their interests, their passions. In the book, we did have a number of original photographs, so some pictures are very good quality, and some are not as good as we would hope they would be. And so part of my talent was finding ways to try and touch them up and make them look almost as good as they would have had we been able to scan from an original photograph. But I think no matter the quality of what you see in the book, it's still going to be a wonderful journey down memory lane and remembering people and friends.
One of the things I noticed among your frequent contributors, and I enjoyed seeing this, is how they changed over the years.
Some of us are much grayer than we used to be.
That's for sure. Mary Lee, what were your thoughts?
A book is something that lasts through many years. A magazine, too often we have for only a, you know, maybe just the month that we received the magazine. And being able to see these faces again years and years later and many years into the future when we are all gone, to have the stories live on and the person live on through their voice and through their picture. I think that is such a wonderful thing to be able to give people.
We've been talking with Mary Lee Hayes and Angie Slingloff about the new Alaska Women Speak anthology. Some readings from the book when we come back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, and we are back with Mary Lee Hayes and Angie Slingloff, co-editors of a new book filled with material drawn from a journal called Alaska Women Speak. For a quarter of a century, it's featured essays, poems, photos, and art from Alaska women. And I'd like to continue our conversation with some readings from the anthology. Mary Lee, let's start off with one of your essays entitled Following the Path of a Piano. And let me tell you what a path that is.
Okay. Yes, I came to see and feel the magic of the Chilkoot, named the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. But what intrigued me most, what gave me an incessant need to experience this land firsthand, was the story of a woman from that 1898 frenzy who insisted that her piano be hauled over the pass. What kind of pioneering woman was this? Not only must she have been brave and spunky to take on the hardship and dangers of this trip herself, but she must have possessed some kind of incredible determination in order to persuade other weary, worn gold seekers to assist in hoisting a piano up and over that long trail and steep incline. I've speculated about her strength of character, for regardless of every mile that her piano was hauled over rocks and rivers, never was there a guarantee that it would make it all the way to the Klondike. She would have to realize every step of the way that at any turn, the piano carriers could give up this load leaving it at the wayside, as so much other equipment was left.
Yay, that was a great story.
Yeah. I've been over the Chilkoot, and I can't imagine what it would be like to haul a piano. It was hard enough hauling myself on the rocks that tended to move when you didn't expect them to.
You know, I think that's the beauty of this. You've got so many stories of women accomplishing amazing things. They offer a lot of inspiration.
Yes, there's a big variety. We really didn't have any one particular topic. We just took the different themes from the Alaska Women Speak journals, each journal having a different theme. That one was pioneering women.
So, Angie, could you share your essay? Can you hear me now? It's about your struggles growing up with a hearing disability. And based on our conversation so far on the show, I think listeners would be surprised that you've had some lifelong challenges.
That is true. That is very true. Okay. I'm reading. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat that? Say again, huh? To which some people respond, oh, never mind, it's not important. It's nothing, forget it. Ask a child to repeat what they said, and they think they've said or done something wrong. And you've experienced our responses, head nodding, yes, or uh-huh, to everything, or sometimes no, thrown in for good luck. The interested look, and the ultimate, the slight grin. Gail Hannon, a deaf Canadian performance artist, says, everyone wants to know what the Mona Lisa is smiling about. We know she couldn't hear a thing.
So this is sort of a woman-to-woman sharing of things.
The book has some of these stories, which I think are important to include. It's definitely all-inclusive, and it gives one the avenue to express themselves, whereas sometimes they may not have that.
So when the journal started, it was a very different environment 25 years ago for women. It was hard for them to get published, harder for them to get recognition. What's the difference today?
I think it's interesting to note that Alaska Women Speak came out of the first women's feminist conference that Karen Carlisle, Susan Johnson, Dorothy Jones helped get started. And their stories are in the beginning of the book. We call them our godmothers. They got us started. And then it took off from there, and it's continued. So women have stories to tell, and women have stories they want to hear.
One of the things that's so interesting about this is the diversity of people that you have, including some articles by Alaska Natives. Could you share one with us?
Sure. From Ellen Paniak. She wrote an article on taking a traditional art to the craft fair. The best part of selling at a craft show is being able to educate the public about the ivory that I work on for the sale. I give a little history of the art and/or the piece of ivory on which I have done the etching. The actual art of scrimshaw was taught to the natives by New England whalers who first plied the Arctic waters in the 1700s in search of whales. They had perfected the art form on sperm whale teeth. The native peoples took the art form and ran with it. My grandfather taught me the craft.
That's lovely. And of course, Ellen Paniak has since passed.
Yes.
So it must be wonderful to have this record of her and many others in your book.
Yes, many of the women that we feature have passed, and we wanted to have their voices continue. And to us, there was no better way to have their words and voices live on other than to put them in a book and put their picture with it.
I think one of the wonderful things about this anthology is the mix of cultures. Not only do you have Alaska Natives sharing their stories, but you have women from all over the state talking about their experiences in Alaska Native culture. And I was invited to write an essay, I think, in the month that you were celebrating diversity in Alaska. And so I'll share a little bit of mine. Mine is called Wiggling Your Eyebrows in Bethel and Other Lessons in Diversity. And in case you don't know, in Yupik culture, sometimes people answer questions by raising their eyebrows up and down to indicate yes. And if you're a non-native, it seems to express uncertainty. So you keep asking over and over the same question and people keep wiggling their eyebrows. But anyway, let me read from this. I was talking about my Yupik mentor, Alexi Isaac, who has since passed on, but I have wonderful memories of him and it was great to be able to share that in this essay. Also in traditional Yupik culture, it's considered rude to respond too quickly to a question. It means you haven't fully weighed in. Probably the world would be better off if we took more time out to pause and reflect. One of the many values the Yupik culture has to teach the world. And I was slow to learn. Ever trying to get Yupik reporters to use shorter sound bites in their stories like they do on the network news. They resisted. Yupiks like to hear people out fully. And of course, this was written of my time as a reporter in Bethel. But, you know, it's just such a great opportunity to share these stories. And mine is one of many of hundreds. So we have spent a lot of time talking about the wonderful essays and photographs, but there are quite a few poems in this anthology, and they're so wonderful. Are there any that you'd like to share with us?
Yes. One by Kirsten Christensen. She has several in the book scattered throughout. She's a poet out of Sitka, Alaska, and it's called Poetry and Wind. Rise early under dark skies to tend dogs and savor the morning's coffee. Bitter tinged and hot. Consider the poetry that needs writing across blank paper, page, words of precision and balm. The house is quiet, still, but for warm January winds, clatter of chime in tree. Crack against window, still coffee cools.
Boy, images we can all relate to. The poetry in the wind and the poetry in the moment. How about you, Angie? Is there a poem from the anthology you'd like to share with us?
Well, I like Gabriel Barnett's poem, Discontent. When distant jets and bumblebees or gossiping leaves agitate against the stillness of Sunday afternoon, when roasting meal scents the air, heavy with promise of a family meal, you slip in, the door whispering, beyond aspirations to domestic ease, gathered under one roof, home simply, together before the weekly shuffle, adventure awaits, luring me toward that cold plunge, chasing unknowns.
Thank you for reading that. So in wrapping things up, are there some thoughts you want to leave with us?
It's exciting for me to know that this book is going to be in the Library of Congress. So it will be a continuing legacy of the efforts, not only of Mary Lee and I to put it together as a book, but of all the women who've contributed their spirit, their soul, their heart, and put it on paper so that we could put it together as a book.
How do we get this anthology? Will we find it in bookstores?
Yes, and you could also find it through Ember Press, emberpressbooks.com.
All right, well, I want to thank you, Mary Lee Hayes and Angie Slingluff, both editors, co-editors of the Alaska Women Speak Anthology of Photographs, Art, and Words from the journals 1992 to 2017. Quite an impressive body of work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, in our Juneau Audubon Society's Birdwatch, the spotlight is on three different shorebirds.